And there's a new Showtime documentary about Sheryl Crow. So, as she would say, hit it. Sheryl Crow started out as a kid playing piano scales in Missouri. She thought she'd be a music teacher. She headed to L.A., got a bit part on the Steve Bochco musical show Cop Rock, toured with Michael Jackson, was sexually harassed by his manager and wrote a song about it. There were bad relationships, one with cyclist Lance Armstrong, who lied to her about his doping. There was breast cancer, frightening depression. But Sheryl Crow became one of the few women able to completely take over her own career, and she's now firmly seated in the rock firmament. Sheryl Crow, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Robin.
And I'm so sorry to mention Cop Rock, which was the fleeting TV show before its time, but I loved you as the little singing policewoman.
When I auditioned and got to be in Cop Rock, it had been canceled. It was going to be the last episode. So that was the start of my acting career. Watching all this old footage and revisiting it and then talking about it, you know, it was kind of cathartic.
Your first big hit, All I Want to Do, a group of musicians and you were working on songs. This one came from a poem?
Yeah, so I made a record that never came out. It was just a very expensive record, and I wound up not loving the record. I felt like it was very slick, and it was different than how I saw myself. And so I wound up kind of sitting around for a while and fell into this group of guys who were extremely artistic, all of them with their own careers. Two of the very first things that we ever did was Leaving Las Vegas. And All I Want to Do. And All I Want to Do was us jamming and me basically reading from this book of poetry by this man, Wynn Cooper. And when I tried to rewrite the lyric, I could never come up with anything that actually felt or matched the energy or the spirit of that. So I called the guy and was like, I know you don't know me. Who knows if this will ever see the light of day, but I've used your poem and I'm going to give you 50% of songwriting on this song. And then it wound up being a huge hit.
Well, you mentioned the song Leaving Las Vegas. I want to touch on a really tender moment. You had made it to the couch of David Letterman, and he asked, oh, is that song autobiographical? You say yes, but then you say, well, sort of, because I left, you know, Los Angeles. Now, unknown to you, a lot of the other musicians knew that there was a book titled Leaving Las Vegas. It was by the author John O'Brien. He maybe had problems of his own, but he committed suicide a few weeks after that Letterman appearance. Now, his family completely absolved you, but the headlines, I'd forgotten this, people were blaming you.
That moment was devastating, and it was a game changer for me. Yeah. From that moment on, I was really closed off. I wasn't the girl next door anymore. I was really broken, and it took me a long time to absolve myself from it, even though I'd never known him, but to have been sort of tricked. It was definitely a dark moment.
Yeah. Well, but then we also see these tremendous highs. I'm thinking of one, you know, as your fame is growing, you know, writing songs completely on your own at this point and running the show, There at Lilith Fair is Brandi Carlile standing on the stage, you know, pointing to a place where she was, like a mile out in the audience, watching you in concert years earlier, crediting you for her career. Later, we see Stevie Nicks. She also gives you so much credit. You end up singing in duet. I think the song was Are You Strong Enough to Be My Man?
Nothing's true, nothing's right. So let me be alone tonight. You can't change the way I am. Are you strong enough to be my man? Lie to me.
At the heart of who I am, I'm still the girl who grew up in a three stoplight town. People like Stevie Nicks gave me a way out. Listening to her, listening to Carole King, listening to James Taylor, it was the mystery and the sounds they were making that made me believe that I could leave my little town and go find a life doing this thing that I loved. And so when I hear someone like Brandi Carlile talking about having seen me, it is the highest form of compliment because of what I know that Stevie has meant to me.
The other thing we see, what a consummate musician you are. Some have said, you know, you could be compared to Prince in the number of instruments you play, but women aren't usually.
I cannot touch Prince with a 10-foot pole. I mean, he was the most anointed musician I've ever been around. One of the things about the documentary that I do love is that you start to understand the person behind the songs. And people who know me by All I Want to Do and by Soak Up the Sun would probably think, you know, I've been a pretty lightweight, fun, happy person. And there's a whole world of living that goes into somebody wanting to write songs and put themselves out there. And generally, it's not the hits that tell the story of an artist. It's the deep cuts. It's the songs that will maybe move somebody in the quiet of their own experience. But it's not generally the ones that get played over and over on the radio. So, you know, that is one of the beautiful things about being able to do a documentary is to talk about songs like Weather Channel and how that was a lifeline for me.
That is exactly what we'd like to do. Let's listen to a little of this song. You say in the documentary your dad told you about how Winston Churchill talked about
the black dog,
the black dog,
yes.
And the depression that would creep up on him. Here's your song.
Can you make it better for me? Can you make me see the light of day? 'Cause I got no one who will bring me a big umbrella, so I'm watching the Weather Channel. I'm waiting for the storm.
And you're very upfront in the film about having to come to the place where you trusted one of your longtime managers to take you to the hospital and get treatment.
Yeah, and you know, it's not an easy thing to do, to lay yourself bare out there, but we don't really talk about it enough. You know, I have a teenager and we're watching the suicide rate go up, and it's time for us to start talking about mental health as being a part of the reality of living.
Dear teenager, one of the two boys that you adopted after your mother. I love your parents, by the way. Can we share your parents with you? They are there throughout your life, you know, beautiful in their youth and their love of music. And your mom says, after you worried you couldn't have children, you had breast cancer, she says, go adopt. You do. And there's a beautiful montage of your boys in the film. What is it you want to impart to them?
There's so many things I want my boys to know. And I wrote a song called Forever. And one of the things, obviously, as an older mom and as somebody who's a legacy artist, which means you're never going to get played at pop radio, it is liberating to be able to write for them, to write a song that talks about, I know that you're overwhelmed, but every moment in your life is about that moment, not the 10 years ahead of you or the 10 minutes behind you, and that we all have to find a way to find ourselves in each moment.
There's no such thing as forever, but you and me, we got today.
there is a heaven, 'cause you make me feel that way.
They're just great people, they're great boys, and I'm so lucky to be their mom.
Well, you are also demonstrating to two little boys that a mom can be a rock star.
Yeah, but also, just to clarify, that what happens when they turn into teenagers is that their mom is so not cool.
Even if she's Sheryl Crow.
Even if you're a rock star, right? That is so cringy. You're not going to wear that, are you, Mom?
That's Sheryl Crow, the subject of the new Showtime documentary, Sheryl Crow, thank you so much. What a pleasure.
Thanks, Robin. Appreciate you talking with me.